4ZLK.
4ZLK, KK4JBQ.
For JBQ and 4ZLK, good evening, Larry.
Ooh, I figured maybe you were doing some checkup of your equipment there. Needed somebody to call back. This isn't a repeater that's terribly active at this hour. So here I am, and your signal is wonderful. Sounds great. What more do you need to know?
Nothing. And I actually was just doing some work here at my desk, and I just, I'm wide awake, and I just thought I'd throw my call out and just see if anybody was out there. Didn't really need a signal report, but thank you. I'm glad it sounds good. Yours sounds as good as always. Over.
I've done the same thing, so don't feel bad about that. And sometimes you just want to... Well, my mama used to say it this way. She said, I don't talk just to hear my head rattle.
That's a good one. I don't normally talk. I'm kind of... Well, okay, I take that back. My wife says I'm a social butterfly. I don't know what that means. I can talk to strangers, no problem. But I listen a lot on the radio. I'm trying to get more into it. But I normally don't just sit here at the desk and talk on the radio, on the 2 meter anyway. But I have talked to you before. Let's see. Goodness, I was on my way to Columbia. I still remember. I was working nights. And going to Columbia, that would have been probably 4 years ago, maybe five.
Well, that does go back a ways. And I can tell you this, you'll talk most to people who want to listen. Most probably because they want to know something that you already know or understand your experience with something. Say, oh, let's keep it in the hobby. Say you you had a successful contact with someone using a satellite, I'll pick anything, a satellite, a comet, an aircraft at 11,000 feet, or for crying out loud, even bouncing off the moon. Those things are still out of the reach of most folks. They're still, and me too, you know, I'm not saying that I have that experience, but it is esoteric enough that it's interesting. So then you'll be in a conversation with several people, and they'll talk to people, and then they'll be throwing your call out to talk to you. And that's how information travels from person to person, and that's why it does, because you've an interest in this. So I'm going to let this drop for a second. So, if you recall, there was, for a time, before Walt had his incident there was a time some month back when we had a round table after Tuesday Night Nets. Walt was calling the net. And he opened it up after he closed the 2 meter net for all kinds of questions. So that was a time when a lot of people stepped out and asked a question because they had something burning, you know, a burning desire to know. And that's one reason why this hobby is what it is to some people. It takes a social butterfly. And sets them free. I don't think it makes caterpillars out of people, but you know what I'm saying. But you get the exercise. You know what I mean?
What you mean? Yeah, I enjoy listening. I've had a 2 meter radio in one vehicle or another for goodness, going on 30 years, And I did, most of the time when I'd be in the vehicle, I would just listen. And, boy, I've heard some good conversations. There's been a few times I've had to turn it off, you know, because I wasn't interested or I was a little embarrassed by what was going on and didn't even want to listen to it. But most of the time I've learned a lot of things. And I don't know, just that the social butterfly comment, I was kind of joking. We'll be at the grocery store and my wife will send me off for something that she forgot to get, and I'll run into somebody either I know or I'll just start up a conversation, and so I won't get back as soon as she thinks I should, and she's always laughing. She said, "You were talking to somebody, weren't you?"
KK4JBQ. I know what that's like, yes. Not particularly because it's happened to me lately, but I can imagine that happening. You know, you get caught up in a conversation, and she knows you. KK4JBQ.
Don't get me wrong. She can talk, too. It's just usually not to strangers. She gets around people she knows, and she can dominate the conversation pretty well. And I'm the one that usually just sits back and listens on that part. And 4ZLK.
That's true. And people are normally free to turn their mind inside out. And I mean that figuratively, of course. When they're comfortable around people, or they already know that there's a common interest in the topic, and so someone who's ordinarily bottled up might, you know, just start spraying all over the place. And that happens. I have a spouse myself, and she's rather quiet about most things, but if it has to do with something that she's terribly interested in, just stand back. And if she's talking with someone else that has that common interest, like I said, then you could be squeezed out. Have you ever been squeezed out of a conversation like that? You just take a step back and let them go?
It's happened many a time, but boy, it's fun to watch, though, when she's passionate about something, or anybody. If you see somebody who has a love for something or they're passionate about it, and they get to going on, you know, on a conversation, it's fun to sit back and watch. It's rare that I do that, but sometimes I do, and then I have to tell myself to be quiet because I've dominated the conversation. I need to let somebody else speak for a while. And my name is Shane, by the way. You might know that, but I know I didn't tell you. It's been a while since we talked.
Well, now that you've, I don't assume, unless I know, that people want me to. Yeah, some people are real, you know, touchy about their privacy, and they have every right to be that way. You just have to, and some whole groups can be that way, believe me. You just have to gain their confidence that, you know, you're not someone who just showed up to help, you know. Like, you know, that phrase, you know, I'm from the government, I'm here to help. people have to gain a trust. And then they have to verify, if you understand my meaning. So, I recall getting kind of steering back to something within the hobby again. I recall one of the best times with other hams that I had. It goes back a few years, but we met a young man on the air who needed some help with an antenna, and four of us just got together one Saturday afternoon and went to help him with his antenna, and we went prepared to make sure that he was on the air. I mean, we took coax, and we understood there'd be a J-pole there, but we also took a radio and Saudi. You know, we just didn't know what the level of, what the need was. And before we left, and we were prepared to leave all that stuff with him, we had him set up with a station that anybody could be proud of, and that he could make contacts. And I'll tell you, Shane, that there's no better feeling than lifting somebody out of the dumps, disappointed with their own efforts, but that you work alongside them and accomplish something. A lot of learning goes on in a situation like that. Much better than talking someone through it, you know, or talking for hours about it. If you accomplish the task and everything works at the in the end, and everything would, of course, we understood what we were doing, and you pass that understanding along. I look back at that as one of the finest things. I've had a few of those, you know, helping someone put up their first tower. I'll never forget that. And that individual went on to do great things in the hobby. He has four towers now. And a couple of long beverage antennas as well. He's got a good bit of property. You really need your own property and lots of wire for a beverage anyway. But you understand what I'm saying? And those are things that are your treasure. You can keep them forever. KK4JBQ.
I do understand, and that's what I love about the ham community. Most everybody I've met has offered to help, or I've heard them offer to help other people, or I've heard them as they're going to help, and it's a blessing. And of course, I hope all that carries over into the rest of their lives. I'm sure it does. Generally, if you're that way in one part of your life, you're that way in the rest of your life too. So that's one of the things I really enjoy about ham radio. Of course, I'm so busy, I haven't had a lot of time to help, but one day I will be there offering as much as I can. So right now I'm just, oh goodness, got another wedding coming up. My oldest daughter will be getting married in about 6 months. So that's another thing we got to do. Just constantly stay busy, but we're excited. She's the last one. It'll be all four kids married, so we'll be happy for her. She's been on her own now for a while, several years. She's almost, she'll be 29 in October, so it's about time. N4ZLK.
That is wonderful. KK4JBQ with N4ZLK. Talking about kids growing up. Last one to leave the nest. Well, you might say it's about time, but even if she took her time and got it right the first time, it's worth the wait. Wouldn't you say?
No, I'm glad she's wanted to be married. So, and her youngest brother, or she has two brothers, and the youngest one, he got married at 22. He was just 22. And she's watched the three of her siblings all get married, and two of them have kids, and I know that's been a yearning for her, but it's happening now, so we're proud of her. And she's been out of the house for several years, so she has been on her own. It's just she's wanted to get married, and she's joked about being the spinster, the crazy aunt, you know, all that kind of stuff, but she's good-hearted. She's got a lot of joy in her life, so we're happy for her.
That truly is a blessing. You're acquainted with KO4NUE, Chad, right?
Chad many times. I've never met him personally, but I've talked to him on the air several times. He's a good fella.
Indeed he is. And I hope that you'll meet him real soon. To be married. just got married a few months back. And what tickles me about it, I have to preface this with the fact that my wife and I will be married 30 years, our next anniversary. We married late, so we are both in our 70s. And we didn't have any children. Now, you need to have children before you get grandchildren. So that's the groundwork. And then I got to say that Chan is so funny when it comes to this child. It's his oldest boy. This child getting married, because it's been like from the wedding reception after the ceremony, the wedding reception to this day. Every time he sees this child, it's a reminder about, you know, when are we going to see grandkids? And every which way that you could say it. And I find that fascinating. I understand from what you've just said that you have some grandchildren, and that's a wonderful, beautiful thing. So life is rich, but only if you take the fruit, and it takes that effort to raise good children, and then to trust them to be out in the world. I don't know what other choice you have after you've given all you can give. Just turn them loose on the world. And if this last one is marrying well, you truly have led a blessed life. KK4JBQ.
N4ZLK. Well, I have been blessed, that's for sure. You should look up Psalm 128. I don't know if you are religious or anything, but I read that chapter the other day. And we had a bunch of family gatherings, and all the kids like each other. Their spouses like each other. They're all friends. It's just, we couldn't ask for anything better. And I have two granddaughters, my oldest son and my youngest son. They both each have a girl. And I think that you should have grandchildren first, but I don't know how we could work that out. But boy, they are a blessing, that is for sure.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I see everyone else's pleasure and joy. And I just can't go back, you know, and fix those issues. But anyway, I can be happy for others. I think that's a skill. It's not a natural thing. As I understand human beings, we can be, and quite often are, selfish, easy to spoil, truly, easy to spoil. But mostly what you see is a self-centeredness. And I think it's a lifelong effort to remain centered. Not self-centered, but centered between you, other people, and your Creator. That position of centeredness is, I think, exactly where we were meant to be. And you might be in the center of things, but if you keep an eye on both of those aspects, you have little time, really, little time to be focused on yourself. You're either focusing on others, what you share, maybe it's joy or maybe it's need, and your Creator, and learning what you can. I think there's a lot, and it's probably a good thing, a lot that's kept from us that's beyond our understanding and our need to know, perhaps. But inasmuch as we are created not only in the image, but also in the likeness, I think those are two different things. Now, you can look at a picture of, say, a child, and the father is holding the picture, and you can see a resemblance. And we see that as a likeness also. But I think our likeness with the Creator is that, as my mama used to say, her way of saying it was, that we're turned that way. We have a predisposition to be that way. So understanding the Creator is, in a sense, understanding the better part of you. Did I say that right? KK4JVQ.
Or is that LK? Well, I think so. I understood what you were saying. And I was just thinking, you know, we all know people, or we could find someone who has a lot more than we do. And sometimes it's just our lot in life, so to say, and sometimes it's our choices. And we need to be grateful for the things that we do have. And I think part of the problem in the world today, and probably has always been in the world, is people look at other people and want what they have instead of being grateful for the things that they have. You know, they want what somebody else has instead of being grateful for what they have themselves. So choices make a big difference in our life, for sure.
There's a lot around that. And in particular, I guess maybe it depends on where you live and the culture around you. I've lived in different places, perhaps you have too. I've known people to be different in some ways, but in a lot of ways, people are all the same everywhere. And one of the things that I think is not very, it doesn't speak well of our kind, if you will, is that we admire too much what other people have. And somehow it's overcoming. I mean, I don't understand it exactly, because I overcame it some time ago. The envy thing. The irresistible desire to somehow lessen that person's enjoyment, and because you don't have that. And maybe you never even thought you wanted that. But they're going to take great joy in it. Let's say it's a shoe. They like the water. And they just got a new sailboat. But rather than celebrate their possession of a sailboat, and oh, by the way, their skill to sail that vessel, you just can't see it that way. And I was able a long time ago to take the better part, to try to focus on the joy that the other person is having, even if it isn't my joy and might never be my joy. I can help them celebrate theirs. I don't see a lot of that. I think that's kind of what you were saying, is it right?
Exactly right, just a little different way. I have things that other people don't have, but I there's a lot of things I don't have, but I need to be happy. Be grateful for what I have and help celebrate other people's joys. That's exactly right. It's a discipline. It takes practice, because I don't think it's our natural bent. We're naturally selfish, but well, we're getting philosophical on here, aren't we? N4ZLK.
Perhaps. I'm not bashful about it. I don't know. I don't mean to embarrass you or anything. And you might be, because you just never know who's listening. It's something I learned about this hobby a long time ago. There could be 2,000 people listening. Who knows? But I don't care. I care about some things. And those things that should be kept to oneself. You develop a skill to do that. Talk around issues, you know, to avoid saying certain things. And you never know how it's going to land on some ears, I suppose. But if you're going to pick up the microphone, you just have to put that aside. the concern. I used to think, honestly, maybe you felt this way too, that I wanted to keep my head down, you know, for fear I would be, you know what happens to a turkey, KK4JBQ.
Stand, and you're right, but who in the world would be up this late at night talking on the radio, or listening to a radio, listening to a couple guys talking on the radio? They would have to be crazy.
There's a bunch of crazy people out there then. I have, let's see if I can, I don't think I can, 145-190, the Mount Mitchell repeater. I think that's the frequency. There are people talking on that all night long, and I turn the radio off when I close my eyes tonight. I turn it back on when I wake up. Now, sometimes that's 7 o'clock, and sometimes that's 6 o'clock, and sometimes that's 9 o'clock. I'm retired. So, but any time at all, there might be someone on that repeater. It's a very busy, well-used machine. And they talk about all sorts of stuff. Most of the times I just listen until I'm full. And we used to have, right at another thing, going back several years now, but we used to have what was called the Midnight Express. That's what it was. We called this roundtable the Midnight Express, and we, that's because we started sometime after midnight. And five or six people would time out the repeater again and again. Because at midnight, which is almost an hour now, at midnight, net mode turns off, which is to say that the repeater has a four-minute timeout. So, as you can imagine, I can talk longer than 4 minutes on a go. But a lot of us could, and we timed that repeater out again and again on this frequency. But we started going separate ways. First one person would fall off and another couple, and, you know, finally it was down to a couple, and they would sign off early. And then it was gone. So there's a time for everything and everything in its season, as they say. KK4JBQ.
There's a repeater up in, it's the Raleigh-Durham repeater, but it's close to the Greensboro. It's up on a 1,500 feet up on a television tower. You can see it as you go up 85. You can see the lights flashing as you're going just south of Greensboro. I could pick that up. I could pick that repeater up just north of Charlotte. And when I was driving to Greensboro at night, there was always some guys on that one, and got to know a few of them. And one of them would always say, there's some lurkers out there. I know you're out there. And if you're listening and you're lurking, why don't you give your call sign and come on in? So, and he'd scare up somebody every once in a while. N4ZLK.
Oh, yes, we would do the same thing. Wouldn't call them lurkers. But we'd say there'd be somebody out there in the weeds. And you can just... you can picture that, can't you? I mean, somebody that's got the cover of the weeds and they're just kind of peeking through. It's a little bit like that. But that's one of the natural, wonderful things about this hobby. It is a big party line that you only have to raise your hand. I'm here. If you want to. And you can stay there. As a lurker, I guess, you can stay there if you want to. And that's okay. We might even have somebody join us if we give them time. And we used to do that on the Midnight Express and other places too. We just let a little dead air, just throw out an invitation like I'm about to do, and see if anybody would like to join us. So here's a little dead air, a little gap, a little opportunity for anybody that's listening who can transmit, of course. Come on in and join us. KK4JPQ.
I guess there weren't any takers yet, or maybe I keyed up too quick. I had a thought, and then I lost it. So I'm going to turn it back to you until I get it again at 4ZLK.
Don't you just hate it when that happens? Well, it's true. I mean, there could be 20 people out there sweating bullets. And then it could just be you and me. But it's not always you and me. As I understand it, everything that's spoken on this repeater is recorded. And you might know, yes. But there are good reasons for that. We will not go into those reasons. It's an ongoing investigation, you might say. But it's a no consequence to anyone like you and me who's legal and exercising the appropriate conduct. You know, there's a formal code of conduct for the radio amateur. It reads kind of funny because it was written in the 30s, but it's still valid. And part of it is that you are talking to a friend. Just assume that until you know differently. You're talking to a friend, and you're talking also to strangers, and those strangers can be of any gender, and they can be of any age. So I wouldn't mind a 7-year-old listening to our conversation. They might learn something, and they might be disinterested. That's up to them. And it could be female, this other person. And so I'm not going to say anything that I wouldn't say in female company. But then I wouldn't do that anyway. But that's just me. I mean, some people have to, you know, walk a tight line. I don't really have to walk a tight line. I have I've lost the word. Maybe it'll come to me. Back to you, KK4JVQ.
Sages, now you're losing your train of thought. I did find out about the recording. I was talking to W4DJW one day, and I also knew about the other, because that was going on, and that's been going on for a while. I'm very well aware of that. But I like the recordings because I've been able to check my signal. I'll go back and listen, and it's actually helped me. I feel like it's helped me develop my radio voice a little more. Not that I'm trying to, not trying to be a professional, but I always wondered what I sounded like, because you know how it is. You sound different to someone else than you do inside your head. So I've accessed the recording several times just to see how the signal on my radio was, how I sounded. I feel like I sound like my brother. I never realized that, but anyway, one of my brothers. But anyway, so you're retired. I'm just curious, what did you do for a living, and where are some of the places that you lived at 4ZLK?
Well, I thought of the word, countenance. It's an old word. It's a biblical word. But when people use it, if they share that word in common, you know what I mean. So I think you'll know what I mean. You maintain a certain countenance. And it's something to be concerned about. It's how you represent yourself. This can be a physical thing. It can be as you appear in public, you know, how you dress, all manner of grooming and stuff like that. But it's also in your voice, how how you choose to express yourself. I grew up a stutterer. I stuttered very badly. I had some help early in life, a babysitter actually. I had a younger brother and she was in the employ, in the family's employ, to look after my brother. But when I showed this problem, this was before I started school, she helped me slow down my thoughts to match my mouth. She determined that that was my problem and gave me some tools. She worked with me on a chalkboard that I got for my birthday, probably when I was 5, and helped me with the alphabet and words. I knew all that stuff when I went to first grade. I got a little jump on it. But it's because of that early speech impediment that I suppose I speak the way I do today. And I credit her with that. Her name was Gertrude. An old name, isn't it? We would call her Gertie, lovingly. I really love that woman. She did a marvelous thing for me. Oh, well, I'm going to let this drop for a second. I've done a bluezillion things. I suppose the most recent thing I did before returning to complete my degree was that I had a career in as a jeweler. Manufacturing jeweler, also sold in a commercial jewelry store. I repaired jewelry both in the store and on the side. Had a real relationship with diamonds and gold and all that other stuff. Let's see. And then I went back to school. Donna and I got married late, as I mentioned before, and she knew how much I really desired to finish my degree. I only had, you know, maybe the first half of my freshman year. So we worked together, and I completed my degree in human resource management, and I never really used that knowledge. But I'd used everything else that I learned about school. It is kind of, if you use it right, and I was what they called a non-traditional student. I was older than any of my classmates in any class I had. You know, I was in my 40s. So I appreciated my education. I had waited so long to complete it, and I had fun. I just had bunches of fun. I had difficulty with math, but before I was through wrestling with it, I had enough credits in math to be a math major. I had enough credits in English to be an English major, and yet I graduated from the College of Business. And I did that all in 3 years, so I was thrilled to have the opportunity at that late age to complete my degree. And I'm happy to say that I got all the stuff out of college that a lot of people miss. I didn't go to one ball game. Sorry, folks. Didn't go to one ball game. I was already married, so I didn't fool around with dating and, you know, that whole scene. I was a commuting student, and I really was a non-traditional student. So, let's see. That's a lot. It doesn't connect real well. I don't have a narrative, this to this to this to this. Never did. I didn't live that way, and I don't have that speech. KK4JBQ.
Was that okay? Oh, that's a good story. Nothing wrong with that. I knew several people that went to college later, and I do think you appreciate it more. I never finished. I went right out of high school for a year and then dropped out for a couple of years. Ended up getting married and went back for a semester or maybe a year. I can't remember. And I did so much better after that. I was a lot more focused. I still didn't finish, but whatever. but I did appreciate it more, and I did work harder, and seemed to do better. But now I've got 31 years with UPS, so had nothing to do with what I went to college for, but it took care of my family.
That has certainly changed, hasn't it? People are reaching out to, for necessities, even, and it arrives on your doorstep. It's a phenomenon. It really is. You and I have lived long enough to see the huge change. People who are just growing up now will see that as normal. Imagine that. Does that not make you a little shaky? That what we are experiencing as life right now is going to seem normal to people. KK4 JPQ.
No, you say that. I'm looking at some of these new guys that are getting hired on, new guys and girls that are getting hired on at UPS. They're just starting their career, and I'm looking back at how much has changed since I've been there. And just what they think is normal now, and I'm looking at how much it's changed at the company. So it is crazy. But, yeah, I used to get irritated about people ordering dog food online, you know. I'd bring it to their doorstep, in my mind I would think, can't you just drive to the grocery store or the pet store right, you know, two blocks away and get your dog food that way? But now we actually have ours delivered, but, you know, I live a lot further away from everything now. We're up near Table Rock, and it's a lot easier to have some of those kind of items shipped to your door and on a regular schedule.
Yeah, sure. There are various reasons for it. We tapped out. Within the last 2 years, a lot of things have happened to everybody. But we feed a lot of pets here. We have three indoor cats, and at least five outdoors that we keep alive. I think of it that way. They are still, the ones that are outside are still not very friendly. But they need nourishment as much as anyone, and I cannot bear to see an innocent animal just fall apart, physically just fall apart. The first one I met, we've lived here, I'm going on 22 years now, and the first one I met was an older kitty, quite small, undernourished, and never grew very large, had really bad teeth. When I started feeding her, a little female, when I started feeding her, she lost several teeth because I wasn't aware of the issue, and I fed her dry food. Well, when she coughed up a couple of teeth one time, I looked at her mouth, and I saw that she had only one left. From then on, it was soft food. And that kind of suffering, it's the suffering of innocence that concerned our Creator the most when He had to punish mankind for going so far off the track in Noah's day. You know the story. But look at the words and where our Creator's heart was, you know. He was sad that the innocents had also suffered along with us and promised that they would never suffer again for our sake. And that's what I mean about the likeness. Your heart is made of certain stuff. That's not the physical heart. That's that part of you that we also call the heart. And if you have a heart for the innocents, it is in the likeness of God Himself. That's how I feel about it. KK4JBQ.
Where's that LK? Well, you're exactly right. And there's a lot of old sayings from around. I've heard it all kinds of different ways from all kinds of people, but basically the gist is you can kind of get an idea of a man by the way he treats his animals, you know, the way he treats his horse, you know, back when they rode horses and had to have the horses to get around. And that refers all the way down to the cats and dogs and whatever you have nowadays. So I think there's a lot of truth in that.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And you didn't know it, but you hit a soft spot. You really hit a soft spot. I love horses. I could never afford to keep a horse, but because I needed some extra spending money, but as it wound up, I didn't earn a lot. I took a job at a stables when I was still in high school. And I would shovel stalls and wash down horses and exercise them and such later on for riding lessons. And that took care of my much of my remuneration. Oh, that's not right. My remuneration. Better said, I was paid in lessons and not so much folding money. But I grew to love those animals. I could touch a horse that I was not very familiar with. And I learned something from that touch. And they could look at me, and I knew that something was going on between us. I can't explain that to you now. I couldn't explain it to you, to anyone else then. I just love those animals. And when you sit atop a horse and they go where you tell them to go, they have an implicit trust that you will not lead them in the wrong direction. I think that's how children are. And a person has to accept that responsibility. Now, I've not had children, but you could speak to that point if you would. But then if you let them have their head, many will just stop because they lack a self-direction. Just drop the reins. Take your feet out of the stirrups and you'll be sitting still. Others have their own head. And you get to know a little bit about the animal when you go along. Just go along with them, what they choose to do. Anyway, I had a good time with the horses that I know. KK4JBQ.
Where's that LK? Well, Larry, that just brought up memories for me. And you'll find this interesting. So when I was in high school and graduated from high school, I had a buddy. We would come out here off Highway 11. There was some stables up here, and we would, you know, pay for an hour's ride, and there was some trails, and they were cutting out, grading out a neighborhood, they said, but at that time, the stables were at the end of this road, and you could ride the horse around. The lady that ran the stable, she said, you know, follow that dirt road, and it makes a big loop, and it'll take you about an hour, you know. So we did that several times, and I rode a couple different horses and had a great time. And then one time we said we wanted to go longer. We just wanted to ride. We didn't want to ride the trail. We wanted to just explore. And so she said, yeah, I'll go with you, which was smart on her part, I'm sure. But we rode for 4 hours, and there's a little hill we rode up, and got a good view of the back of Table Rock, went down into a creek, just had a really nice time. We came out to look at the house we bought 5 years ago, and it's right, the hill we rode up to see the back of Table Rock, I must have ridden right through where my yard is now, because that hill is in the front of my house, kind of to the, see, it's to the west, northwest of my house, and I've actually hiked up it now several times. It's pretty cool. And one of those horses also, the big old fat mare, she was a buckskin. She was pretty fat, kind of uncomfortable sitting on her, but boy, she could run, and she had a hackamore bit. She didn't use the bit in her mouth. She used a hackamore bridle. And if you let the reins too loose, she would flip her nose, flip her head up, and it would flip the hackamore up over around her head where you couldn't control her, and she would take off running. And you'd have to lean forward and toss the reins forward to try to get that to fall back down so you could get her to stop. That was a lot of fun. N4ZLK.
Had me going there. Wow, son of a gun. You live in a beautiful part of the country there. I've been meaning to ask. You mentioned Table Rock a few times. Are you acquainted with Andy?
He is. I think I've talked to him once or twice. It just seems like we never can. We're either never on the air at the same time or whatever. It just doesn't work out. I have talked to him. I've heard him for years. I used to hear him years and years ago, and he would check into the net and say he was at Table Rock. So I'm familiar with where he is, the road he lives on. I think I've driven past his house a couple times. But yeah, I do know who he is. N4ZLK.
Well, Andy's probably not listening, but he's one of, and I hope he's not listening, he's one of those people that I treasure. There have been many. That's one of the surprises about this hobby. It's full of good people. There's some stinkers, of course, but on the average, I think there are more great people in amateur radio than in other hobbies that I've been involved in, perhaps. I'll get all different kinds of people. I met Andy the first time at the Anderson Ham Fest. This is the best little ham fest in the South. That's their moniker. That's how they would like to be known. The best little ham fest in the South. It's more or less the side of a hill. There are no vendors. It's all, what do they call it? Boneyard. And it's actually a grassy knoll that everybody parks on. And they serve up food, and it's just a place to meet people that you have spoken to on the air but had never met. That eyeball CUSO is what you accomplish. So I was talking to somebody else that I had just met, talked to them for years on the radio, and I just met them, and I was enjoying this conversation, and I heard somebody behind me, and it was Andy. And he has a voice that you, well, first of all, Andy speaks loudly. Very clearly and very loud. It carries. Maybe he's not making any attempt to be loud, but he has a voice that carries. And he was right behind me. I knew who it was before I turned around. And when I turned around, I was looking him right in the chest because Andy is tall. And we've gotten to know each other and respect each other over time. It's one of those beautiful things. And there's been a bunch of people like that I've talked to on the radio and met them at a ham fest. And that's the reason I go to ham fest. Or I wind up spending a little money, perhaps, but that's not the big thing. The big thing is those eyeball CUSOs. KK4JBQ.
I know somebody's voice so well. I've been in Walmart or something, you know, another large store, and I've heard somebody talking the next aisle over. Didn't even have to see them. I knew exactly who they were. Never met them before. Never met them face to face, but I recognized their voice. And that is one thing I enjoy about this hobby too, is meeting people, because you get a mental picture of what somebody looks like. 99% of the time, my picture in my head is not anything what they turn out to be like, so it's a lot of fun. But also, I comment on just how many nice people there are in this hobby. You kind of have to be polite and nice, you know, because you're talking to people, you're supposed to be polite anyway, and it's hard to fake it long term. I mean, we've all run into those people that can be nice for a little while, but talk to them too long and you realize they're probably not somebody you want to hang around with for very long. But for the most part, most operators, it just kind of comes natural, or they've developed a skill. You know, they're mostly nice people. They're used to communicating with other people and have to do it in an orderly fashion, you know, and everybody takes their turn and is polite. So that's probably one of the reasons why this hobby is so much different than others. N4ZLK.